helping you plan for a successful retirement and what's right for you and your family. This is the Aging Hour with Bill Davis and elder law attorney Phil George of Safe Harbor Legal Solutions. KGMI and the Cascade Radio Group receive financial compensation to present this program in its entirety. The opinions expressed by the hosts and guests are not necessarily those of KGMI or the Cascade Radio Group.
Well, like that guy was telling you a minute ago, it is the Aging Hour brought to you by Safe Harbor Legal Solutions. Bill Davis, the guy over there who likes to say
right,
is elder law attorney, counselor at law, Phil George.
Right.
Doing okay?
Yeah.
All right. Things are all right?
Yeah, no, they're doing really good. Okay. I was thinking, you know, that big voice guy in the beginning, the only thing that he really gets wrong is that doesn't he call this entertainment?
Well,
I'm not sure if this qualifies.
Well, you know that Deanna Harrelick, who does a morning news show here,
you'll
hear her do a disclaimer at the end of this segment. And I do believe she says for entertainment purposes only.
Right.
But, I think when she did it, she sort of tilted her head to the side and made it more like sarcasm.
She had her toes crossed.
Yeah.
She was like, no, I've heard these guys.
If you would like to ask a question of Phil, have it addressed on a future show, here's his email address, radio@safeharborlegal.com, radio@safeharborlegal.com. We have email questions.
Yes,
we have guests. We have lots of fun planned for you today.
Oh, man.
Yeah,
so
what's going up?
Email question we've got, how do we put my mom's assets in her trust?
Okay.
Then we've got an exciting interview with my friend Jacob Anderson from Thrivent in Ferndale. Then we've got another question coming up. Help, I need to know if my dad can sign a power of attorney. And then finally, we'll get to my favorite segment, Bill, the wrap-up.
Well, let's just jump into it here.
Let's do it.
First email question says, I need help with my mom's estate planning documents. My dad died about 10 years ago. Probate was so bad, and I know, Phil, you've chronicled how bad it can be.
It's bad.
This probate for this person is so bad, my mom decided to get a trust after that. Good for her.
Right.
She wanted to avoid probate at any cost, so she went to an attorney in town. Not you.
Not me.
Oh, boy.
I know.
She got a trust.
I know.
Couple of problems. The first is we've been listening to your radio show.
Is that the problem?
That's not a problem.
Okay,
because
good.
Phil and I are a nickel richer.
Yeah.
Every time somebody Woo-hoo. Listens. Anyway, we've heard that you've said you're supposed to put your assets in the trust. Well, her attorney never talked to her about anything like that. She's got the trust, but everything is still in her name. Second problem is I think the trust itself might not be copacetic, might be bad. I've tried to read through it, and it doesn't make any sense to me. It says, can you tell us how we would put all our assets in the trust, and also, can we hire you to come look over the trust to make sure it's set up correctly?
Yes.
Well, there you go, another nickel.
Well, these people, they're coming around, they're seeing light. Sounds like what they might have got, Bill, was a road trust.
Yeah, the one you pick up off the side
exactly
of the road.
Exactly right.
Or maybe on the interwebby thing.
You scratch your name down at the bottom of it, and you think, voila, all of my work is done.
Okay, well, they're going to be seeing you to rectify all of this.
Yes.
Now, you've talked about this. Excuse me. You've talked about it before. Do you need to put all your assets?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's all got to go in the bucket.
All of it. You know, and I use that kind of symbolism all the time. The trust is a bucket. You're creating a legal entity, and the trust, much like a bucket, only controls those assets you put inside of it.
Mm-hmm.
So when you look at a bucket on the ground, the bucket won't lift up all the water around it.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with the trust. You got to have assets inside of it in order for the trust to do you any benefit, in order for the trust to control it.
Okay, so can we kind of go, A, B, C, D, E, F, all the things that need to go in there.
All right. So you got all sorts of stuff, and really it's everything. You got real estate. You got retirement accounts. You got investments and bank accounts, life insurance and annuities, businesses, and then you get to the strange stuff.
Like what?
Mineral interests in Oklahoma.
Like the
ninth hole of a golf course somewhere. Let's say your grandpappy had some U.S. war savings bonds from the Second World War, that kind of thing. Strange stuff.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Not too strange. I don't know where your mind went.
You can tell. Let's deal with the not strange stuff.
Yeah.
Let's talk about real estate. Yeah. How does that go into
trust? Real estate is fairly straightforward. So with a real estate, it's really just changing the title on the property. And so in Washington is what's called a race notice state for the purpose of transferring property to anyone else, really. And so what you do is you have I usually use a quitclaim deed. Because the property is just going from, the person as themselves to the person as the trustees of their trust, a real estate excise tax affidavit, and you can get that property in the trust. As soon as it's in there, boom, you're good.
What if you own property out of state?
Yeah. You got to, it's basically the same process. The only issue is you either have to, work through some software, like I've got some software I can use, or you have to go to an attorney or title company in that state.
Oh, okay.
Right? So it's the same process. It's basically just a quick claim deed. Put the property in the trust like that, and then voila.
This will help you avoid, if you have property in that state.
Yes.
You've told us before.
Yes.
If you go through probate, you got to go through probate in that state.
Every state you have real estate.
This will help avoid
this
that,
This will
obviously.
Avoid
okay,
that.
Okay, your retirement accounts. Let's talk about those.
Retirement accounts. So retirement accounts are things like IRAs, 401ks, 403bs, deferred comp, that kind of stuff. And the deal you made with those kinds of, with the government when you open up those kinds of accounts is that during your working life, you would put money into them before income taxes came out. Now, every time you take money out of them, you have to pay income taxes on it. So you can't put that kind of account directly into a trust. You have to put that kind of account into a trust through the beneficiary designation. Mm-hmm. If you were to just name the trust as the owner of it right away, that would be the event that triggered all the income tax to do it once, right? So you change the beneficiary designation, and whether or not you make the trust the primary beneficiary or the contingent beneficiary is dependent upon a lot of things, whether or not you're married, what your tax situation is, that kind of thing. And then there are also just some other different things to worry about as far as taxes go and how you set up your trust specifically. We won't get into it too much here, but you want to make sure that your trust is set up so that if you're worried about taxes, that the trust will act as a conduit and the RMDs, the required minimum distributions from the IRAs and 401ks will flow directly to the beneficiaries. Mm. If you're worried about protecting the beneficiaries, then you want to make sure that the RMDs, required minimum distributions, accumulate inside of the trust.
Okay. What about other accounts?
Let's see. Other accounts. So other accounts would be things like investment accounts, municipal or regular other accounts, bank accounts, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And really all you're doing at this point is going to the bank. You're speaking to somebody who's probably not a teller. Nothing wrong with tellers. I love each and every one of them. They're good people. But you're probably talking to a personal banker or something like that. You're saying, hey, I have a revocable living trust. How do you want me to put my assets, my accounts with you in the trust? And they're going to say one of two things, Bill. They're either going to say, let's change this to a trust account, or they're going to say, let's make this transfer on death or payable on death to your trust.
Okay.
For our purposes, either way is A-okay.
Okay. All right. You mentioned life insurance and annuities that are going into the trust as well.
And annuities, absolutely. Yeah. So life insurance, you do that the exact same way. Well, you name a beneficiary, right? Just like you normally would with a life insurance policy. You can name the trust as the beneficiary of that. Annuities are a bit of a different monster. They're very unique. There are so many different kinds. You kind of have to... you have to read the fine print, so to speak. And so be careful with annuities. That warrants a larger conversation depending upon the type of annuity.
We talked about, like, if you owned your own business, is it difficult to get it into a trust?
It's really not. It's incredibly easy. So if you have an LLC or you have a, say, an S-Corp or something like that, or even if you have a corporation where you actually have shares, it's actually really, really easy. All you do is you're basically... signing an assignment of your interest to the trust. And so the trust stays in, or the LLC stays in your name, according to the Secretary of State, but you're signing over your interest to the trust. So it's a piece of paper you sign saying all of my interest in this business is going to be held by the trust.
Same thing, assignment of shares.
Exactly right.
Okay.
Easy,
peasy. I want to get into the kinky, weird, strange voodoo stuff.
Boogity, boogity, boogity.
That goes into the trust. You mentioned strange,
so
the floor is yours.
Here here we go. And I, you know what? Now you've raised the bar so high on Strange. I don't know if I can get there.
Well, you mentioned mineral interests.
I did.
Oklahoma. Mineral interests. What am I talking about? Very big.
Absolutely. Yep. Especially in states like North Dakota or Oklahoma or those types of places.
I think where I come from in Texas, they talk a lot about mineral interest. Does oil count as
absolutely.
A mineral interest?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
So, okay.
And so, depending upon the type of deed you have, you either own your property, a long way down, or sometimes there's a company that owns the mineral rights underneath your property.
Mm-hmm.
Usually, if there's a family that has mineral rights, that is, it's deeded to them.
Yeah.
And so what you have to do is you have to contact the company who deeded those rights out and have them usually name the trust as a beneficiary. There are other things, too. Let's say you have paper stocks. Mm-hmm. Let's say you've got some of the first stocks from Microsoft or something like that. You'd have to, and the stocks usually then would have your name on them.
Mm-hmm.
You'd have to contact the comptroller for Microsoft and say, hey, I want to change the beneficiary on these stocks to my trust. And then they would reissue the stocks to you, the paper stocks to you.
Really? I haven't seen a paper stock in a long time, but they still issue them.
But when I'm dealing with people, a lot of times they have assets that they've been holding on to for the past 40 years or something they found under mom's dresser or something like that. Same thing with paper bonds, right? Like U.S. war bonds and stuff like that. Every once in a while, one of those will just kind of pop out. And it's basically the same kind of thing. You just are contacting the government and saying, hey, I need this reissued in the name of my trust. But getting it in the trust is incredibly important.
And they mentioned, can they hire you to look over it? Which certainly
absolutely.
you'll have great pleasure doing that.
Incredibly good idea.
If you want to call Phil and set that up, 360-746-7169, you can email. Mail him radio at safeharborlegal.com. Around the corner, what do we got?
Next, we got Jacob Anderson from Thriven. Come on down.
Okay, we're going to talk to him next here on The Aging Hour on KGMI.
Any and all information provided by this radio program is for general information and entertainment purposes and is not intended to give legal advice. Listening or interacting with this radio program does not create an attorney-client relationship, and any information sent to this radio program may not be constituted as attorney-client privilege. It is important that you seek counsel and discuss your case with a competent attorney. Review your local state bar for information on each attorney you hire.
Are you a woman worried about your aging parents? More than 75% of family caregivers in the U.S. are women. And unfortunately, most of these women end up having to leave their careers to take care of their aging parents. But this doesn't have to be you. Safe Harbor Legal Solutions can help. Safe Harbor Legal Solutions will guide your parents through creating an estate and retirement plan that will take you from caregiver to care manager. That means you won't be the one helping your parents bathe or get dressed. Instead, you'll manage the care who come to help your parents with their daily life, so you can ensure your parents' well-being without having to sacrifice your career. Don't let a lack of planning steal your hard-earned future. With a plan from Safe Harbor Solutions, you'll be by your parents' side without putting your life to the side. Don't wait until it's too late. Learn how a plan from Safe Harbor Legal Solutions can help your parents and help you. For more information or to schedule a consultation, visit safeharborlegal.com. That's safeharborlegal.com.
Isn't it finally time to get your affairs in order? You've been putting it off and putting it off, but did you know more than 70% of retirement plans fail when families need them most? Don't let your family be one of the 70%. Let Safe Harbor Legal Solutions help. Safe Harbor Legal Solutions will show you how to give yourself the best possible chance at a dignified retirement and the best possible chance for peace of mind for your whole family. That means no running out of money from uncovered long-term care costs or extravagant death taxes. No being forced out of your home against your wishes. And never becoming a burden on your loved ones. Don't let a lack of planning spoil your retirement or your family's future. With a plan from Safe Harbor Solutions, you won't have to worry about being one of the 70% that fail. Let the folks at Safe Harbor Legal Solutions show you how to set your family up for success. For more information or to schedule a consultation, visit safeharborlegal.com. That's safeharborlegal.com.
How confident are you in your estate plan? Confident enough to know you won't run out of money from uncovered long-term care costs? Confident enough to know you won't be forced out of your home against your wishes? Confident enough to know you'll never become a burden on your loved ones? If you aren't 100% confident in your estate plan, it's not the plan for you. Don't risk it, and don't wait until it's too late. Let Safe Harbor Legal Solutions help. Safe Harbor Legal Solutions will make sure you can lead a dignified retirement and offer your family peace of mind. So you'll never have to worry about exorbitant expenses, being forced from your home, or becoming a burden. And if you don't have an estate plan yet, the attorneys at Safe Harbor Legal Solutions are there to guide you. Put your plan in place today so you can prepare yourself and your family for the future, no matter what it holds. Safe Harbor Legal will show you exactly how to set your family up for success. For more information or to schedule a consultation, visit safeharborlegal.com. That's safeharborlegal.com.
Numero dos. It's the second award-winning segment of the Aging Hour, brought to you by Safe Harbor Legal Solutions. I'm Bill Davis. That guy laughing uncontrollably to my left is Phil George, elder law attorney and counselor at law.
Back the award. For segment two.
We don't get them for all the segments.
No,
but. Segment number two always wins an award.
Well, it was. I was thought maybe it was the one I got from my mom. I was the best dressed. I was always the best dressed boy.
Yeah. Okay. You still got the medals.
I do.
And the trophies.
I do. Okay. I do. They're all right. Play-Doh. But yeah.
Yeah, we're just totally making this up, right? You know,
it works. Come on.
Anyway, I love it when.
Yes.
Oh, first of all, if you've got an idea for a show or you got a question for Phil, radio safeharborlegal.com is the email address. And I always love it when I can take a segment off and you bring a guest in.
Right.
Yeah.
It takes all the pressure off.
Absolutely. I just go have a cup of Joe and I turn it totally over to you.
Absolutely.
And I don't even, you know, when we tape this and run it, I don't even run it by HR to see if there's any problems.
That's probably a good thing. Yeah. And I would imagine, and I think that this one's going to be so entertaining that you're going to be popping back in.
Okay.
So,
all right.
But we have with us today a good friend of mine, Jacob Anderson from Thrivent. So, Jacob, I'm so glad you're here. We've been talking about you coming in and doing this for a while. Can you just tell me a little bit about yourself?
Yeah. Hey, Phil. Thanks for having me. Yeah, Jacob Anderson. I live in Ferndale.
Mm-hmm.
I have a wife who works at Ferndale High School and three little rascals.
Oh, I love it. Yeah.
Five-year-old, three-year-old, and a nine-month-old.
Oh, very cool.
And yeah, I've been in Ferndale my whole life. That's where my practice is as well. And yeah, our family, you can find us out enjoying the outside and recently planting a garden.
Ah, fantastic. So I have a nine-month-old as well. Is your nine-month-old sleeping through the night?
I wish.
Okay, good. All right, thanks. I was up early this morning again, so and I appreciate that I'm not the only one doing that. So what made you want to get into financial planning, man?
Yeah, great question. I used to be in the fire service. So I was in the fire service for 7 years and really enjoyed how I got to serve and help people.
Yeah.
A little different than financially.
Right.
I'd usually meet the person on the worst day of their life.
Right.
And then never see them again.
Right.
So I really got invited into financial planning. My wife and I were doing premarital counseling through our church.
Oh, cool.
And through premarital counseling, the pastor was like, hey, you guys should go talk to a financial advisor, because you know, money looks different when you're married. And
right.
So it was actually through that relationship of working with a financial advisor that I realized that, man, the impact that they can have is really service related, really, really similar to the fire service. And so I saw that, you know, instead of seeing someone in the worst of their life and never meeting them again,
right,
I could have an ongoing relationship with them, work with them for 30 years and work with their grandparents and affect entire lineages financially.
Very cool. Well, what was it about Thrivent that that made you want to pick them?
Yeah, wow. That's a good question. So the most hot off the press stat is, you know, Thrivent is a pretty unique financial organization.
Yeah.
We're tax exempt as a 501c8.
Yeah.
I'm not going to dive into that, but what that means is that instead of Thrivent as a Fortune 500 company paying the IRS taxes,
right.
They give it back to the clients to be generous.
No kidding.
And so just last week, I got a stat that showed just my clients in 2023, as a result of Thrivent empowering them to be generous, our financial impact was $1.1
million. Wow.
That my clients
just
were able to
clients.
Be just my clients
That's
in 2023.
Good.
So why Thrivent, man?
Right.
empowering clients to be generous is deeply rewarding.
Absolutely. All right. Enough about you. So we're here. I know.
Well, I was kind of rude.
Enough about you.
I got one question. Since you you had a background in fire safety, you don't hose down your clients or anything when they come into the office. So. Spray them down. Okay. All right. Like he said, enough about you.
Enough about you. All right. So we're here to talk about something else, though. We're here to talk about. Well, you tell us. What are we talking about today?
Yeah, we're going to talk about death and taxes.
Awesome.
Everybody's favorite topic.
Hey, every day, man.
Every day. Hey, but before we dive in, I'm going to give broad advice today. This doesn't constitute specific financial advice, so don't take this and run with it.
We have don't worry about that, Jacob, because we have Mr. Disclaimer Guy who comes on before the show.
Right.
We call it CYA here, which means this show does not constitute any type of business, lawyer, client relation. This is for entertainment purposes only. But what do you always say?
That's
a judgment call as to whether or not this is entertainment. Uh-huh. So we got a CYA for you there.
I love
You're totally covered.
I love it. Yeah, I'm going to talk about taxes, but I can't provide tax advice because I'm not a CPA. But we're going to talk about the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act and dive into how that affects a financial plan.
So what's the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act?
Yeah, that was enacted in 2018, and what it did is it widened our tax brackets so you could make more money and be in a lower tax bracket.
Okay.
And there's a lot of other provisions, but that's what we're going to focus on today.
Okay.
And so essentially, taxes are on sale. Who doesn't love everything to be on sale?
Exactly.
Taxes
are
on sale.
Okay.
And that sunsets in 2025. So we have two planning years left, 2024 and 2025, to do some tax planning.
Interesting. Okay. Well, so then talk about that a little bit more. What's you were telling me something about the tax bracket environment. What is that?
Yeah. You know, everybody, if you ask, hey, how do you feel about taxes? Everybody feels like taxes are really high right now.
Right.
And if you actually look historically at your federal marginal tax bracket, we're actually at one of the historic lows.
Oh, no kidding.
In the 70s, our highest marginal tax bracket was in the 70%, right?
Wow.
And just the marginal tax bracket is, think about it as the last dollar, what percentage did your what did you pay on that?
Right, that makes sense. Yeah,
and so yeah, we're at 37% as the highest marginal, and that's pretty low. And if you look at history, and so we always ask clients, hey, do you think taxes are going to go up,
right,
stay the same, or go down? And
right,
you know, nobody has a crystal ball, but we don't think it's going to go down.
No, right, nobody ever says that. So what does that mean then? So if folks, let's say they're getting ready to retire, what does that mean for them?
Yeah, good question. It's you really want to look at, hey, most clients have all of their money tax deferred, right? Traditional IRA, traditional 401k, 403b, 457, etc. And if you ask them why, they'd say, well, it's just kind of what we've always done.
Right.
Right. And and so now you look and you say, hey, your taxes are going up in 2026. Either 3% or 9%, depending upon your tax bracket. And so if you're in a $250,000 of income today, you're in the 24% tax bracket. And in 2026, you're going to go to the 33% tax bracket. So that's a big tax change that affects your income and, you know, your ability to leave a legacy and things like that.
So what can I do with that information?
Yeah, so the biggest thing to do now is, hey, where and how much room do I have left in my tax bracket? Maybe you have $100K left in your tax bracket.
Yeah.
Hey, look at, does a Roth conversion make sense to move some of those traditional IRA assets to a Roth and legally and ethically disinherit the IRS?
Yeah.
A lot of people are just doing nothing.
Yeah.
CPA Ed Slot likes to call that the government plan. Right. Nobody likes the government plan.
Right. Yeah.
The government plan means you pay them more taxes.
Yeah.
So, hey, have a plan that's strategic of how have I looked at my portfolio in context of the 2018 Tax Cuts and Jobs Act and really done a tax efficiency analysis on it.
Yeah. Well, I love this topic. And this is one of the reasons why I was really excited. Other than you're just a great guy, it's one of the reasons why I was excited to have you here today is, you know, I try to talk to clients just about that. You know, if they're, especially maybe the first couple years of retirement where maybe all they're getting is Social Security or something like that, they are in a unique position at that point where they can really move a lot of money out of an IRA and into a Roth. I just love that. But what, so if you're already in retirement, what's the best thing you can do with this information?
Yeah, take this and take it to a financial advisor and CPA. They're really competent in tax planning with the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act.
Do you know any good, really good?
I know a guy.
Financial advisors?
And a good estate attorney.
All right. I love this guy. Yes.
But you know, regardless of where you're at in life, whether you're working, start doing your Roth. Mm-hmm. If you're in retirement, look at conversions. And then if you're just looking at leaving a legacy, you don't want to pass tax-deferred money to kids. You want to convert that to Roth.
Yeah.
Part of the Secure Act 2.0 changed how you leave traditional money to beneficiaries. So you really got to be strategic with all these new laws coming out.
I love this, man. I love this. And I got to tell you, folks, this is a really good reason to want to go see Jacob and to talk more about this. But you are having a workshop coming up here in just a couple weeks.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Everybody is really wants to hear about taxes. And so May 2nd at the Ferndale Public Library, we're doing a deep dive, an hour on tax strategies. And so we're going to really take this to the next level, talk about Social Security, Medicare, IRMA, estate planning, and yeah, would love for you to attend 6 o'clock.
Absolutely. Now, do people, can they just show up? Do you want them to register first? What's the best way for them to get more information about this?
Yeah, these workshops, man, they fill up fast.
Yeah.
So you got to call our team and get your spot now.
Perfect.
You can call at 360-319-5228 and reserve your spot for May 2nd at 6 o'clock.
Awesome. Jacob, thank you so much for joining us today, man. I appreciate you bringing this information.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Absolutely.
You want to talk about power of attorney next?
You know I do.
POA.
Yes.
Coming up next. It's the aging hour. Sorry. Excuse me. Here on KGMI.
Did you know that if you have a will, your spouse will probably have to take your estate through probate after you die? That's right. A will is designed to take your estate through probate. That means your spouse will be responsible for paying your final tab after you pass. Probates are usually a minimum of $5,000 and take at least 6 months to complete. But we've all heard those horror stories about probates that cost way more and take way longer than that. If you want to learn how to avoid one of these fiascos when you or your spouse passes, then reach out to Safe Harbor Legal Solutions. Safe Harbor Legal Solutions will guide you through a plan that reduces the risk of financial burden on the loved one you leave behind. Don't set your spouse up for failure. With a plan from Safe Harbor Solutions, you can keep your spouse from having to go through probate after you pass. Let Safe Harbor Legal Solutions show you how to set your family up for future success. For more information or to schedule a consultation, visit safeharborlegal.com. That's safeharborlegal.com.
What's the single biggest financial threat to a successful retirement? Uncovered long-term care costs. The average cost of care in a nursing home in Washington State is $10,000 per month. Even a good-sized estate can quickly run out of money with those kinds of costs. You need care, but you don't want to leave a bill behind for your family. So what if there was another way? What if you could transfer onto governmental benefits so your spouse wouldn't have to spend down all their money? What if you could give your family all the tools they need to get you out of a rehab facility and recovering in your own home? What if you knew you would never become a burden on your loved ones? All of this is possible with a plan from Safe Harbor Legal Solutions. Don't let a lack of planning steal your retirement or your loved one's future. Learn how a plan from Safe Harbor Legal Solutions can give you a dignified retirement and give your family peace of mind. For more information or to schedule a consultation, visit safeharborlegal.com. That's safeharborlegal.com. Are you a woman worried about your aging parents? More than 75% of family caregivers in the U.S. are women. And unfortunately, most of these women end up having to leave their careers to take care of their aging parents. But this doesn't have to be you. Safe Harbor Legal Solutions can help. Safe Harbor Legal Solutions will guide your parents through creating an estate and retirement plan that will take you from caregiver to care manager. That means you won't be the one helping your parents bathe or get dressed. Instead, you'll manage the care who come to help your parents with their daily life, so you can ensure your parents' well-being without having to sacrifice your career. Don't let a lack of planning steal your hard-earned future. With a plan from Safe Harbor Solutions, you'll be by your parents' side without putting your life to the side. Don't wait until it's too late. Learn how a plan from Safe Harbor Legal Solutions can help your parents and help you. For more information or to schedule a consultation, visit safeharborlegal.com. That's safeharborlegal.com.
The
latest local news and important topics of the day from the West Mechanical Studio.
No gimmicks, just the highest quality systems, 0% interest financing, and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Rely on West Mechanical Heating, Air Conditioning, and Electrical. Contact them today at westmechanical.net.
Get the latest news and information 24/7 with KGMI News Talk 790, 96.5 FM in Bellingham and mybellinghamnow.com.
Well, let's see here. We killed one segment.
Yes.
We killed two segments.
Or at least we wounded it.
Yeah. It's time to euthanize... Segment three on the Aging Hour, brought to you by Safe Harbor Legal Solutions.
Uh-huh.
The euthanizer in yes. charge over there is uh-huh. Phil George, elder law attorney.
Euthanizer in chief.
Uh-huh. And what else do you do? Elder law attorney.
All around good guy.
Lawyer.
Sure.
Counselor at law.
Uh-huh.
I'm Bill Davis. By the way,
yes.
if you feel like sharing the mm-hmm. show with your friends and relations, there's an easy way to do it. You can go to Phil's website.
Absolutely.
Right?
www.safeharborlegal.com. And so if you're listening to the show and you actually come across something that interests you and something that you would like to share with your loved ones, something that you might like to bring to your friends, something mm-hmm. that you might like to play on your smartphone for people at a party or something like that.
You want to clear a room fast. Do that.
You can
we
go.
We gotta go home. You, thanks very much.
These are pearls here we're yeah. dropping, Bill. So if you yeah. want to share these pearls with other people out there or you just want to listen to them again, the best way to do that is to go to my website, www.safeharborlegal.com. Scroll down just about halfway down the page, and you will find a link where you can go and then you can listen to all of our old shows. So every little bit of banter that Bill and I have had on here, mm-hmm. every little pearl that we've dropped, you can share with your friends, you can re-listen to. It's a wonderful way to spend your day.
I was just thinking, you play that at a party.
Uh-huh.
Two ways will clear there's two ways to clear a room at a party. One, run out of liquor. Two, play one of our shows. Say, good night, everybody. Okay, you ready to get into our next email? Okay.
Yeah.
I'm a long time listener of your show. Hold on. There we go. Brand new shiny nickel Phil and I.
Yeah.
And this listener has a question about mm-hmm. my dad. He was diagnosed with dementia when he was 65. He's 70 now, definitely has declined. My dad was never a guy to get his paperwork done, so he really didn't have any kind of will or anything.
Mm.
I'm worried if he waits too much longer that he mm-hmm. won't be able to sign legal documents. Well, that's a great concern.
Mm-hmm.
My sister says, we don't have to worry. As long as he can physically write his name on a piece of paper, then we're fine.
Oh.
I don't. He wants to know, is she right?
Mm-hmm.
I say he wants to know. It could be a she.
Right.
When does somebody actually lose the ability to sign documents? What happens when somebody can't sign documents
right.
anymore? I have a feeling you
yes.
get this a lot.
I do. I
yeah.
get this all the time. People, there's a big mistake, right? Can people sign documents? And people think, oh, well, he can move his arm or,
yeah.
you know, he can hold a pen still and I'll mm-hmm. just move the paper underneath him and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And that's not really how it works.
Okay. We're not actually talking about physically
right.
the hand with the
no.
pen
Ow.
Signing. It's not about
no.
that, is it?
Not at all. That's no. We're not talking about the physical ability
is
to sign a piece of paper.
Is it the cognitive kind of thing?
That's exactly
okay.
what it is. You yeah. want to figure out exactly, you know, there's these different thresholds for capacity you have to be able to cross in order to sign legal documents.
Well, I just thought of something.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's say a person can't, you know, something's wrong with a hand. They can't,
right.
they can't
right.
legal, well, they can they still sign a
yeah.
document if they're not able physically
Absolutely.
To do it?
If you can't move your hand, there's still ways that you can sign a legal document. You
okay.
can either, one, you can just make an X,
like,
right,
okay.
or just something very plain like that.
Yeah.
And two, you can actually ask somebody to sign on your behalf if you're doing it in front of the notary right there.
So you don't have to have a document
no.
saying that, but if you've got, if the, you know, because we have mobile, let's say if
yeah,
somebody's bedridden or whatever,
yeah.
we got mobile notaries.
Absolutely.
So, like, you can have somebody sign it for
yes.
you in front of the notary.
As long as they get that affirmation from you that that's what you want to do and
okay.
you tell them in front of the notary to please sign this on my behalf,
yeah.
you can do that. Legally signing something is entirely different
okay,
than
you
that physical
explain
capability.
That?
So the signing something, when you're talking about a legal document, it all has to do with mental capacity, right?
Okay.
Whether or not you really understand what you're doing, whether or not you know what you're signing, whether or not you know where you are, right? And so there's actually levels of mental capacity that there are out there that kind of trigger which things or what kind of documents you can sign and what kinds you can't.
There was a sad story about George Harrison of the Beatles.
Yeah.
And he was dying of brain cancer, yeah, or lung cancer or something. But one of the doctors that was treating him, I think they ended up his estate sued this guy,
yeah,
because he was bringing in things for George to autograph,
right,
so that he could sell, the doctor could sell them. And George even said, I don't even know if I can sign my name. I don't even know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
So that's probably the situation
exactly.
You're talking about. There's
Absolutely.
A lot, there's different levels, I assume, of the mental capacity.
So there's basically two for our purposes, testamentary and contractual.
Okay, you want to go over what testamentary is?
Yeah, and so testamentary capacity is basically you just, and this is the type of capacity you need in order to sign your will or your mm-hmm. revocable living trust. This is it's a fairly simple, basic level. One, you have to know kind of what you have for assets. You have to know, who your family is and who you'd want your beneficiaries to be. And then you have to know how you'd want your assets divided, right? And as long as you have that much mental capacity, you're okay to sign your will. But it has to be something that you can demonstrate, right? So when I go and I talk to people about this, when people come to me and maybe even they've had a diagnosis of dementia or something like that, just because there's been a diagnosis of dementia doesn't mean that this person doesn't have mental capacity. Mm-hmm. It just means you have to be really careful and check. But for signing a will, it's a relatively low bar.
Okay.
The contractual capacity, however, it gets a little bit rougher.
All right. So
yeah.
give me an idea what that sounds like.
Contractual capacity is exactly what it sounds like. It's you being able to understand the contract that you're signing. And most other documents outside of a will require a contractual capacity mm-hmm. where you have to, again, be able to really understand what you're doing. Not just somebody saying, hey, mom or dad, you're coming in to sign a promissory note to loan me a bunch of money, but to understand the ramifications of it. This is what could possibly happen. This is the benefit to me. This is the downside to me.
How do you determine it with the, to see if, they've got that capacity, the contractual capacity that they can actually sign
and do it? It's really hard. It's really, really hard. And so what I usually do is I try to just I start off having a good conversation with somebody.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times when I, as an attorney, go and I talk to somebody when they're older and maybe they're just not feeling well, they get nervous,
sure,
first off, right? And so that can really affect somebody. So I spend some time just initially just talking to them, trying to lower the levels of stress
and things like that. And also see where their cognitive ability
Absolutely.
Is lying. Yeah.
And then, you're just kind of having a conversation with them. You're asking them about their kids. You're asking them about, what they did for a living. You're asking
them
about all that
kind of
stuff.
You're not doing something like, who was the 36th president of the United States?
No, not at all.
Kind of
simple questions to start, and you see how far they can get and what kind of answers you're getting back. And then you kind of take it as far as you can, where, maybe you start talking about current events and things along those lines, asking them for their opinions on things.
Mm-hmm.
And that's usually the big one. It's one thing to be able to kind of regurgitate facts. My kids are. It's another thing for somebody to be able to give you their opinion on something and why. So that's usually what I need to get to in a conversation with somebody before I'm comfortable saying that they have contractual capacity.
It sounds like it can be a judgment call.
Oh my gosh!
So if you're a little unsure,
even if there's a shadow of unsurety, what I like to get is a note from their doctor, mm-hmm. right? And that's ideal. Now, a lot of times doctors are hesitant to give these notes, right? Because they are kind of it's the same reason I am, right? If you make a mistake, there's a lot of repercussions for it. But a note from a doctor, a note from a neuropsychologist, a note from somebody like that, sometimes I'll have people come and talk to me and I don't get the kind of reaction, I don't get the kind of responses that I want from them. And I'll tell them and their family, hey, we have to get a note from your doctor before we can move this conversation forward, before I can do anything for you. And it's a tough position to be in, but that's what you're left with.
Well, if you can't sign, what happens?
This becomes a big deal, right? So back to that initial question, this guy was saying his sister's like, yeah, just have him sign, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you know that, let's say your dad doesn't have the mental capacity to sign a legal document, and then you go and have him sign a legal document.
I think I know the answer to that. That's fraud.
Fraud.
Right?
You're committing fraud. All you are. And which obviously is a crime, right?
Obviously.
So you just can't do that. If you know somebody's incapacitated and you just have them sign, I got to tell you, the penalty for that gets pretty, pretty steep.
Well, you probably got to get into things like powers of attorney, guardianship, things like that.
Well, and that's exactly right. Hopefully, the person would have signed a power of attorney that would give, you know, somebody else the ability to sign on their behalf. If they haven't, then unfortunately you have to go and get a guardianship for somebody to make healthcare decisions for them and a conservatorship for somebody to make financial decisions for them. And as we've talked about on this show before, that can get pretty nasty.
Well, and you've just got to get all that done
in
order for either them to sign or for you to sign.
Exactly.
You just got to stay legal.
Well, and it's a good reason why getting this stuff done early before this becomes an issue for your family. Don't wait until your family's having to drag you around to an attorney to see if you have mental capacity. Do it while you can still drive yourself and make your own decisions.
Probably a good idea to give you a call.
Always.
And you can get them set up.
Absolutely.
360-746-7169 if you want to contact Phil. Well, let's see. We burned one segment. Mm-hmm. We burned two segments. Mm-hmm. We burned three segments.
That's right.
Feel like burning a fourth?
Might as well make it the hat trick.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Isn't that what it is?
I thought that was three.
Was it three?
I don't know. Anyway, it's going to continue, whether you like it or not, the Aging Hour here on KGMI.
Any and all information provided by this radio program is for general information and entertainment purposes and is not intended to give legal advice. Listening or interacting with this radio program does not create an attorney-client relationship, and any information sent to this radio program may not be constituted as attorney-client privilege. It is important that you seek counsel and discuss your case with a competent attorney. Review your local state bar for information on each attorney you hire.
Isn't it finally time to get your affairs in order? You've been putting it off and putting it off, but did you know more than 70% of retirement plans fail when families need them most? Don't let your family be one of the 70%. Let Safe Harbor Legal Solutions help. Safe Harbor Legal Solutions will show you how to give yourself the best possible chance at a dignified retirement and the best possible chance for peace of mind for your whole family. That means no running out of money from uncovered long-term care costs or extravagant death taxes. No being forced out of your home against your wishes and never becoming a burden on your loved ones. Don't let a lack of planning spoil your retirement or your family's future. With a plan from Safe Harbor Solutions, you won't have to worry about being one of the 70% that fail. Let the folks at Safe Harbor Legal Solutions show you how to set your family up for success. For more information or to schedule a consultation, visit safeharborlegal.com. That's safeharborlegal.com.
How confident are you in your estate plan? Confident enough to know you won't run out of money from uncovered long-term care costs? Confident enough to know you won't be forced out of your home against your wishes? Confident enough to know you'll never become a burden on your loved ones? If you aren't 100% confident in your estate plan, it's not the plan for you. Don't risk it, and don't wait until it's too late. Let Safe Harbor Legal Solutions help. Safe Harbor Legal Solutions will make sure you can lead a dignified retirement and offer your family peace of mind, so you'll never have to worry about exorbitant expenses, being forced from your home, or becoming a burden. And if you don't have an estate plan yet, the attorneys at Safe Harbor Legal Solutions are there to guide you. Put your plan in place today so you can prepare yourself and your family for the future, no matter what it holds. Safe Harbor Legal will show you exactly how to set your family up for success. For more information or to schedule a consultation, visit safeharborlegal.com. That's safeharborlegal.com.
Did you know that if you have a will, your spouse will probably have to take your estate through probate after you die? That's right. A will is designed to take your estate through probate. That means your spouse will be responsible for paying your final tab after you pass. Probates are usually a minimum of $5,000 and take at least 6 months to complete. But we've all heard those horror stories about probates that cost way more and take way longer than that. If you want to learn how to avoid one of these fiascos when you or your spouse passes, then reach out to Safe Harbor Legal Solutions. Safe Harbor Legal Solutions will guide you through a plan that reduces the risk of financial burden on the loved one you leave behind. Don't set your spouse up for failure. With a plan from Safe Harbor Solutions, you can keep your spouse from having to go through probate after you pass. Let Safe Harbor Legal Solutions show you how to set your family up for future success. For more information or to schedule a consultation, visit safeharborlegal.com. That's safeharborlegal.com.
Now, I don't really want to start this last segment off in a negative light, but Phil and I have talked about this before.
Yes.
Phil George with Safe Harbor Legal Solutions, yes. The Aging Hour, about some despicable listeners who feel like they need to add sarcasm
right.
to the show when we try right. to be, you know, very upfront, personal,
absolutely.
And nice and give you, you know, good tips.
Quality information.
And yet, when some folks hear that this is the last segment
right.
before, you know, we get into, you know, CBS News and
right.
the shows that come on after
yeah.
us,
yeah.
that they feel the need to applaud. Sort of like if you're an older person like me and
yeah.
you remember Johnny Carson when he used to do Karnak.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. He had, and Ed
exactly.
McMahon would hand him an envelope.
Right.
He would ask, he would give an answer.
Right.
And he opened the envelope and there'd be a question
right.
in there. Ed would hand him the final envelope for the
right.
segment. And when he said, here is the last envelope,
right.
and the crowd would erupt with
oh,
applause.
Those
and,
ingrates.
And it ticked Carson off
yeah.
to no end.
Right.
So anyway, people are suddenly starting to do that now. It's
oh.
it's this thing about, you know, yay,
they're almost
out of here.
Yeah,
and we come in here for nothing.
Right.
We don't get paid.
We get nickels,
nah.
people.
Yeah,
nickels.
We get nickels. And we try to give you a nickel's worth of tips.
Sometimes
and
we
you
come up short.
Have to turn around and treat us,
right.
you know, like, well, I used to say treat us like dogs,
right.
but dogs get treated.
Dogs get,
they get treated better than we
they
do.
They really do, and there's no reason for this bill
I know.
Whatsoever.
You know, I'm shocked at their reprehensible behavior.
My feelings are hurt.
Yeah, me too.
And you know,
we may just stop this segment, right. go away, and let you have about, you know, 12 minutes of dead air.
Dead air,
which probably would be better than what we usually do. Yes, I know. It's like T-ball. I led ourselves right into that,
and you know they were all thinking it.
They were just waiting for that.
Gas
anyway,
bags. Anyhow,
well, we covered some good stuff today, whether you agree or not.
Right.
I'm talking to
ingrates.
The listener. We had an email about how to get mom's assets
yes.
into her trust,
and we talked about all the different types of assets from and so again the importance of putting assets in your trust. The trust is like a bucket. The trust only helps cover those things that are actually in the bucket. So you have to make sure all your assets are in the bucket. As you get more assets throughout your life, you have to put those assets in your bucket.
Mm-hmm.
So with real estate, we talked about quitclaim deeds. With IRAs and 401ks, we talked about beneficiary designations. With bank accounts and investment accounts, we talked about transfer on death and payable on death designations. We even talked about strange things. Not as strange as Bill wanted to talk about,
yeah.
but we talked
yeah.
about some strange things like
mineral rights
and stuff like that. And so there's a way to put just about every asset inside of your trust, but it's something you have to do. So if you have a revocable living trust out there, your loved one has a revocable living trust, and you haven't put your assets in that trust, you need to reach mm-hmm. out to somebody. You need to call and make an appointment so that this is something you can accomplish. Because otherwise, I'm sorry to tell you, that revocable living trust ain't worth the paper it's written on.
Right. We have a special guest, Jacob
yes.
Anderson, came in from
yes.
Thrivent.
He was right.
talking about converting
yeah.
To a Roth IRA.
Sure.
And you know what my favorite part of Jacob's segment
yeah.
was he did his own disclaimer.
He did.
He did a
yeah.
CYA saying
he did.
That he's saying, this is for entertainment purposes
right.
only. I am not giving financial
right.
advice.
Exactly.
I love that. He's
yeah.
right in the middle of it. He goes, I'm covered, right? I'm covered. Nobody's going to come after me, right? But he had some good tips.
He did. He had some good stuff we talked about. We talked about how right now we're in a unique position to move money from a traditional IRA, 401k, into a Roth.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason you'd want to do that is because, well, right now the tax rates are lower than really they ever have been. And so you're in a unique position where you can do that. Remember, sometimes having required minimum distributions when you retire isn't the greatest thing
yeah.
because it just means you're having to pay more out. You're paying more in income taxes and all that kind of stuff. And so one of the reasons why I really wanted to have Jacob in here, he's just a good guy.
Yeah.
But two, this is a topic that's near and dear to my heart. When people are retired and their income is lower, they're in a unique position where they can roll a significant amount, if not all, of a traditional IRA into a Roth IRA
mm-hmm.
and make a big big difference for their finances for the rest of their life. And yeah, it's a really good topic. And remember, Jacob is actually going to be having a workshop.
There's a workshop mm-hmm. coming up. I think he said on
May 2nd.
Thursday the 2nd.
Is that a Thursday?
Yeah, it is. Yeah. I do believe
it is.
It's going to be at Ferndale Library.
Ferndale Library, 6 o'clock. He said you can call his office, 360-469-5410. Mm-hmm. I believe that was the number, but I probably... Nope, it's 360-319-5228. 360-319-5228. You can call his office, or I believe you can just show up at the actual workshop itself at 6 p.m. on May 2nd at the Ferndale Library.
I wonder if they call that first number, who they're going to get.
I don't know. Someone's saying, who is this?
Yeah. I want to sign up for the workshop. I ain't got no workshop here. We got another email about dad's dementia is getting worse and a little misinformation from the sister, I think.
Yeah.
It said, oh, yeah, he can sign. Well, it's okay. We can sign for him. You get the legal trouble there.
You get a lot of legal trouble for that. If you know somebody doesn't have mental capacity, if you know that they have been declared to a point where they can no longer make legal decisions for themselves, that means they can't sign documents for themselves. So they can't sign a deed selling their home. They can't sign a purchase and sale agreement. They can't sign financial documents. They can't sign estate planning documents. They can't sign anything. And that's not to say that they don't physically have the ability, but legally they don't have the mental capacity to do it. So if you know that and you put a document in front of them to have them sign it, you are committing fraud.
Yeah.
So you have to be very, 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 very careful. Mm-hmm. This is one of those things where, we talked about, how do you tell if somebody has mental capacity or not? And initially, it's just through a conversation. And most of the time, if you're having a conversation with somebody, you can tell in the first couple minutes whether or not they have mental capacity. You have to start out kind of slow, because especially as an attorney and just kind of a larger person in general, sometimes I make people nervous when I'm talking to them. Mm-hmm. But you get past that and you start getting into a conversation and asking people about their opinions on things. That's when you can truly dive in to see whether or not they have mental capacity. And if it's still not clear, the best thing to do, and this is good advice for any of the other attorneys out there too, make them get a note from their doctor.
Yeah.
Have the doctor be the one to say this person has the mental capacity to make decisions or not.
Well, and also, if you just know, if you commit fraud, you could go to prison. And if you have delicate features, that's going to be a problem.
That would be a big problem.
It's going to be a big problem, especially when it comes to soap in the shower.
Exactly,
if you know what I'm
talking
about.
Exactly right.
Not like I'm speaking from experience. Hey, I know you just finished up with a seminar in Linden, and you got here just in time.
Yes.
If folks miss the seminar and they have a group that... Uh-huh. They would like you to come speak to. You're available for that.
Absolutely, always. So you can come. We'll talk to your group. We'll talk about ways to plan for retirement so that you can set your family up for success, so you can avoid probate, so you can remove the burden on them, so you can cover long-term care costs. These are people... They don't understand how important and how powerful estate planning can be. And that's really what we talk about, what you can achieve. And I got to tell you, we get a lot of good responses from this. So,
So you can call Phil 360-746-7169 if you want to set that up for your group. Yeah,
absolutely. And everybody, I want to thank you for joining us today. And don't forget to tune in every Saturday and Sunday at 1 o'clock. Remember, you do not have to set your family up for failure in your retirement. We can show you how to set them up for success.